One of Atlanta's historically black colleges is highlighting historical black music this weekend. Morehouse College hosts How Sweet the Sound, an ecumenical celebration of music in the black church. It's partly a conference with workshops to help musicians brush up on their skills. It's also part celebration, since it seeks to connect attendees with the legacy of African-American Christian music. WABE's Amy Kiley spoke with Dr. Uzi Brown for our show City Lights. He's chair of Morehouse's Department of Music and one of the organizers behind the event.
What is How Sweet the Sound?
How Sweet the Sound is actually a phrase that's taken from a hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound that saved the wretch like me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
And we thought it appropriate for the ecumenical celebration of music in the black church because one of the most important themes there for this conference and in the African American community is that music is an expression of life, whether we're talking about our sacred or secular music. And that is a part of the kind of lifting up of the sweetness of music as an enrichment of life.
Wow. Who's the target audience then? More the church music crowd or anybody who's interested?
Clearly, we like to see people who are involved with music programs, choristers, but actually anyone who's a lover of music. And what it will do for them is to give them a better sense of what I consider to be the legacy of the African-American church music experience, which is so rich and so diverse, particularly when it comes to some of the music types which are fading out of existence because of the change in contemporary worship. And they are things that, for historical reasons and for reasons of connecting with our own historical past as African-Americans, is very important.
Does that mean that even if you go to a predominantly African-American church, but you're, say, a millennial, you might not know all of these traditions?
Precisely. And this is one of the reasons it's important to do this, because in reality, any type of folk music will cease to exist if those who are carriers of that tradition in the folk way, which is largely by some kind of oral transmission or some means of a master-apprentice relationship, then it will fade out of existence. It's important because the music of today is informed by those music types that are 200 years old or older. When we talk about a preacher in the black church now doing what we consider taking a tune in his sermon, these things go all the way back to lining out and taking a tune in the hymn singing, the metered hymn singing of the black church. And it's very much anchored in the earliest forms of music making of African Americans in this country.
What is taking a tune?
Taking a tune simply means intoning a sermon rather than just speaking it in pitch inflection.
Can you give us an example of that?
And I tell you that one day that's going to be a time of reckoning, and you want to be ready when God comes.
Wow, thank you. That was amazing. So let's go through some of the convention's workshops. One teaches techniques for lining out, which you mentioned. Can you explain what that is and how the workshop teaches it rather than maybe just doing it?
It actually owes very much to, in the United States, Sir Isaac Watts, who was not black. But Watts began that tradition of lining out where you had a precentor or the person who was the song leader, as I said before, in the African-American community, that person who takes that tune and introduces the hymn. But the same thing happened in the traditional or institutional church, where you had someone who read the lines and then the congregation would in turn sing them to very well-known tunes.
Long as I live, while trouble rides,
yes.
For people who don't know what shaped note singing is, can you explain it and talk about that workshop too?
Shaped note singing is also a tradition that did not begin with African Americans, but it's the unique treatment of these things. Lining out and shaped note singing are very distinctly treated in the African American community because of the great singing traditions of Africans when they came to this country, and they used similar kinds of intonations in terms of the melodic resources and even the harmonies that were being used. And shaped note singing is simply, rather than identifying the traditional do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do on line and space, these same pictures were represented or are represented by unique shapes.
What does somebody who reads modern notation get from learning to read shaped note notation?
There's a unique singing style associated with it. That's so exotic in so many ways. So it's more for the enrichment and the enjoyment of hearing what this kind of delivery sounds like rather than actually being able to perhaps utilize it on a regular basis in the worship experience.
You told me that you yourself teach voice.
Yes.
And you're going to teach people who attend this conference how to sing better in terms of technique. How do you do that with a large group of people?
Well, I've done it many times before. Clearly, you can't give attention to the personal problems of individuals, but it's most important that you're putting out something that's a kind of a blanket general information on healthy singing. And teaching people to engage the body in the singing process is one of the most important things. It will save many voices. So they sing on the interest of their investment in learning how to sing better rather than, as Leontine Price says, singing on the capital. Because once the capital is gone, you have nothing left.
You named her. Is that a good example of someone who sings with great health and great technique, in your opinion?
In the classical tradition, yes. But good singing, it does not matter what the genre happens to be. But among classical singers, there is no question about it. She sang well into her 70s, and you may recall that she did a very special performance at 9/11. She was already retired and well up in years, but that voice was still remarkably preserved over all of these years.
For people who come to How Sweet the Sound who are, say, church music directors or conductors of other choruses, what kind of goodies will you send them home with in terms of pieces of music that they might want to sing with their choirs?
Well, there is a marvelous choral reading session where everybody who is in attendance, whether they're a musician or a director or just a layman who loves music, they'll be able to take this away. And the exciting part about it is that this is an opportunity to hear some of the compositions and arrangements of some of our younger contemporary composers across the board, from the anthems to the gospels and spiritual arrangements, and most, I think, all of the composers of the pieces that will be presented will be in attendance at the conference.
One workshop will look at the music of the father of the concert spiritual.
Like, yes.
Who is that?
Mm-hmm. This is the person who, born in 1866, was very much responsible for the earliest publications of what we call the art music. He elevates this thing that was in the oral tradition, done out somewhere, perhaps in a field or in a brush arbor or in a primitive church, to something that even the greatest of performing artists, black and white, across the world, have chosen to place on their programs so they are in every way musically worthy of being considered concert pieces.
And what was his name again?
His name is Harry Thacker Burley, most commonly known as Harry T. Burley. And this is the 150th year of the celebration of his life, born in 1866.
So for people who listen to this interview who can't make it to the celebration, the conference, but who want to learn a little something right now, what can you teach them?
Go and experience the music of the African-American church in an African-American church. Go to programs where they are doing things that lift up this wonderful heritage music.
Thank you.